Yeah, if people ask me, so how would that work? It's actually orchestrated very nicely. So even though the maracas is, you know, the solo instrument, what's going on with the rest of the orchestra is actually very interesting. That's what makes the whole piece, you know, a whole. And I think this is the very important part of writing a concerto for a percussion instrument.
Right.
Yeah.
Describe maracas. What are they?
Maracas are a very simple instrument. There are basically three components. You know, it's a gourd. The beads inside are the seeds of a small plant, like a flower plant called capacho, and a wooden handle. The handle is glued into the gourd and the seeds are inside, but it's a very simple instrument. It's all organic materials, basically.
Do you always play two at once, one in each hand?
Yeah, just one on each hand. And also people ask me, are they like, is one, you know, pitch higher than the other? And no, they're just pitched, you know, pretty much the same, both.
So what are some of the different techniques you use with these to get different sounds?
Shaking the maracas, even though it looks easy, is actually difficult because you always have to deal with two sounds. You know, if you want to just play a downbeat, you always have the rebound. So part of the playing the maracas is just learning how to incorporate all those sounds into the final sounds you want to hear. Sometimes you want to make one sound, but you make two because of the rebound. Yeah, so that's the interesting thing about it.
How is this piece notated?
It's just notated for any percussion instrument.
The rhythm.
Yeah, you just notate the rhythm. And sometimes when you watch certain effects, you know, we have a very common effect that is called the escobillao, which is kind of like, it's supposed to sound like when you're raking leaves, you know. You just make that by twisting your wrist certain ways to create the sound. So you have to have some special notations, you know, or special instructions of how to do it and what you want to hear it. But for the most part, it's just written it's just a rhythm written.
The composer Ricardo Lorenz is Venezuelan, and you are Venezuelan. Is there any sort of assumption about what you already know as a maracas player that you'll automatically do something in a certain
pretty
style?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
You got the idiom?
Yeah, definitely. I think when he writes a concerto for maracas, for Venezuelan maracas and orchestra, you basically have to assume that the person who's going to play and has to have some knowledge of the culture and or at least, you know, of the way of playing the maracas in Venezuela in order to be able to play the concerto.
Will you be amplified?
No. No, the maracas are loud enough. Even though they are they're small, they cut through everything and they will be loud enough for the orchestra.
Alcides, you grew up in Venezuela and learned clarinet through El Sistema, which is your country's famous music education program. Went to conservatory after that, and it was only after you moved to the U.S. in your 20s to continue your classical training here that you also started seriously thinking about maracas and learning them. What's the story there?
Yeah, you know, I grew up playing Venezuelan music since I was very young. I always, you know, loved to play on the clarinet, and almost every time I went to a party, you know, with friends and we had reunions, you know, we always end up playing Venezuelan music. There is always a cuatro in place and some maracas, you know. It's like musical parties, you know. So I grew up playing Venezuelan music, but I was never interested in the maracas. I mean, I knew the instruments, I knew how they work, but it wasn't until I actually came to the States. And maybe had a lot to do with being out of Venezuela, you know, being a college student, the first semester was, you know, it's always difficult. I mean, you miss everything about where you come from, you know. So I just started missing that, you know, like not missing so much of the music, but just missing how to understand more of it. And that's how I got interested. I said, well, I'm gonna learn the maracas because I know how to play the cuatro.
So you already had a wind instrument and a string instrument.
Yeah, so the maraca was just, you know, thinking back on those days, just a way of distract myself a little bit. I guess from the pressure, you know, like I remember those days, everything was difficult, you know, being in college, you know, learning the language, that's very difficult. So it was in some ways, you know, just finding some quiet, quoting, you know, a quiet place, you know, even though the maracas is not quiet, but for me, you know, in my mind, just to forget about everything else and just concentrate on playing an instrument. A lot of the times I play with a recording. Mm-hmm. That's when I was learning most of it, you know, how to play all the styles of Venezuelan music. So I would put a recording of, you know, a merengue or a joropo, and then I'll play on top of that just to learn how to do all the movements.
I don't know what to ask about maracas. Do you have a special pair?
Every set is different, and they're all handmade. Yeah, you know, the gourds, actually, they grow on a tree, like a, it's like a fruit, you know. They grow, and gourds are being used, you know, by indigenous people just to make utensils, you know, like to make ladles and even spoons, you know. So they can grow up actually really big to the size of a watermelon, you know. So, and of course, there are different varieties. But for the maracas, you have to actually harvest them at the time where they are at the right size. You have to really watch them, you know. So the gourd is actually green, like bright green, and the inside has a white pulp. And it's all very wet, you know. So, and, you know, if you actually drop it on the floor, it just breaks, you know. It's like dropping a watermelon that you have to let them dry for a year. So they become very hard. And that's how you get the gourd. And the seeds for the maracas come from another plant. Same thing, you have to harvest the seeds and just prepare them too. And then you put it all together. You have to have a lathe to make the handles, and they can be very simple or very, very ornamented. You know, it depends on who's making the maracas. And then you put it all together. Yeah.
You have an association with a famous maraca maker who turns out to be from your hometown.
But yeah, Maximo Tepa is the name of the Venezuelan maracas maker that is very well known around the world for his maracas. And interestingly enough, you know, I never knew of him until I came to the States. And so when I got interested in the maracas, I said, you know, I want to get a really good pair, you know, who makes them? And they said, well, you know, Maximo Tepa. And where is he from? You know, he said, well, he's from Guanare, you know, which is my hometown. He's like, I couldn't believe it, you know. So the first time I went back to Venezuela after being here in college, I just visited him. I just called him, and he said, just come over. He's always been very humble, super nice. So he just said, just come over. I originally wanted to buy a set of maracas for me. So I went, and he actually showed me a lot of the techniques. He's the one that, you know, inspired me to, you know, continue practicing the maracas. So every time I go and visit, he will show me some stuff. And it's like, you know, a year later, I will go back and show him what I had learned. He showed me more stuff. And he's the one actually that one time provided the recording of this concerto for maracas that I'm playing. So I listened to the piece, and I thought it was very interesting. And contact the composer, got the music, learn it on my own. I just figure out how to play, how to make all the rhythms there.
You're dedicating this weekend's maracas performance with the Atlanta Symphony to the children of Venezuela. Why?
Venezuela's going through a really tough time right now. The country is basically completely in ruins. And it's really hard for me to see everything that's going down there, you know, and especially people having such a hard time, you know, to find food and medical care. And
people are trying to leave the country. People,
yeah, I mean, everybody's trying to leave. You know, whoever can leave is going to do it. You know, at this point, you know, anything is better. You know, and it's really sad to see the happening. And obviously, people that suffer the most are children, you know. Yeah, I have a 17-month-old child, and it's a boy. His name is Evan. And I don't know, I think when you're a parent, you know, things change, you know, your perspective of life. And seeing children suffering, it affects me more now, you know. It's like now that I have a child, you know. So, yeah, that's why I want to dedicate the concerto to the children of Venezuela, and in some ways to create more awareness, you know, about what's happening in Venezuela. Yeah, right now it's a completely different country than the country I grew up in. Yeah.
So you'll be spreading awareness with your performances this weekend with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. How much do you practice maracas every day?
Well, now I've been practicing a lot. Sometimes I just go, you know, months without playing maracas. I mean, I get so busy playing clarinet. To me, you know, playing maracas is always like escape, you know. So I have to say that playing the clarinet, you always have to deal with a reed. That's like, you know, our karma, you know, just dealing with a reed all the time. Like it's never the same. Like, you know, the weather, the temperature, the humidity, everything affects the reed. You know, that's why we get, you know, on stage really early to try reeds, make sure, you know, I never play the same reed for rehearsals because I always have to get there early and try a few reeds and play the one that feels great. So that's always in my head, you know. So for me, when I play maracas, it's just like I don't have to do any of that. I just grab them and play, you know. It's like I don't have to do any preparations, you know, so they're always ready to go. for me, that's, you know, one of the things that really attracts me, you know. So for me, it's like escape. And sometimes if I'm very stressed out, I just go and play maracas for a while, just do a bunch of stuff, and then I feel much better. Yeah.
Do they have a special case?
No. You can have a special case, but for me, it's just, I just put them in my pack, and then that's it.
All right. Yeah. Alcides Rodriguez, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.